Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel welcoming this week's Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And we're going to talk a little ACC basketball this week. And one of the teams that has really been impressive thus far is the 10-0 Miami Hurricanes. And it's been a while, but it's great to welcome back Coach Katie Meyer to Dishin' and Swishin'. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be on again. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Well, Coach, things have gone pretty well for you so far, but it hasn't been easy. You guys have had some first half deficits, and you've had to play from behind. But you know, the team is sitting undefeated in the number 26 spot in the AP poll, and that's got to be a pretty good feeling right now.
It is. It is, and I think we've had some interesting challenges along the way. So it's not like we played 10 cupcakes and we're just, you know, trying to get wins. I mean, we really have challenged our team. We've gone on the road to really traditionally tough places to get a win and places where ACC teams have traditionally lost, like Old Dominion and Charlotte. Those are hard places to play, and picked up wins and were behind and, you know, withstood runs. And it's just been really, really interesting. And I've never had so much, so many choices to make within a game in terms of lineups and style and defenses and offenses. And this team's been great because they're just presenting me with a lot of possibilities, but it's a lot to juggle.
Well, one thing that you mentioned that I want to comment on right away is, you know, a lot of the top programs, really big name Power Five conference programs, tend to stay at home in a lot of their pre-conference games and don't go on the road. But I like the fact that not only have you gone on the road, but you made it a three-game road trip. So the team actually, you have a very young team, and they had to get used to already what it's like being out on the road instead of just being in the friendly confines of home.
Right. And frankly, being at Miami is a little bit like being at Hawaii. Like, you don't have to go. People will come. They'll come down here. Yes. So, you know, Hawaii usually starts 10 games at home before they go on the road, and we could do that. We actually even canceled one of our tournaments to sort of just mix things up. And we've been to the NCAA, but I've never played at home in the NCAA. So the point is, until we host a game, I better get this team ready to win big games on the road.
And you, as I mentioned, it's a young team. I believe you only have three returning players from last year's squad. But, you know, the history has shown that you have this really, really strong ability to get this team, your teams, into the postseason, and it just makes for the pre-conference schedule to be a little bit more fun as you get used to these newer players and give them more responsibility.
As young as we are, like I said, we have one senior. She is a fifth-year senior, Shelley Woods, and she's been tremendous. But that's all. We have one senior, and I didn't really know what this team would be like. And frankly, the addition of the two kids from the Netherlands in late signing period, you know, more than 70% of your schedule is done by the time you sign late. So how good were we going to be if we don't sign those two young ladies? You know, I don't think we're sitting here at 10-0 right now with a schedule that was pretty much already formed. So you just don't know. And it's been, I think we just played 5 games in 9 days. And I know we've already played 10 in the first 24 days. And as young as we are, as old as I am, I've never been through that. We have not had a practice really since the season started, because it's all been prep, or it's been you got to shave your legs or whatever. So it's been somewhat exhausting. But I'm sitting here making a video project for my team with concepts, and I have so much to show them. You know, we have 10 games in our belt already, and I have so much to show them when they get through finals. It's going to be a great time.
Well, you mentioned the two freshmen from the Netherlands, so let's start there. Laura Cornelius, 5'8", obviously a perimeter player, but the one that's been particularly intriguing is the other freshman is your 6'3 post, and I'm going to see if I can get it right. Is it Amaysa Hoff?
Yeah, Amaysa Hoff, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Amaysa is how you pronounce it, okay.
Exactly.
But she's done unbelievable things for a freshman coming in, in this country and getting adapted to all of it. She's been a really strong addition.
The thing is when you see them play, you're shocked that they're freshmen. I mean, they're talented, but what they do almost beyond their years as defer. And I wish they were a little bit more reckless freshmen, to be honest with you. I wish they played with a little bit more abandon, because that's your opportunity. When you're a freshman in our program, you know, I play my freshman. I traditionally always will. And they're allowed to turn it over more than anybody else. They're allowed to make mistakes. You know, juniors and seniors aren't, but the freshmen sure are, because I feel like that's the way we've built this program. Our freshmen might not be ranked as high as the other team's freshmen coming in, but by the time they're juniors, they maybe played more. And that's a big part of our formula here. So we put them on the court and we let them make their mistakes. But boy, oh boy, Laura and Mesa are so heady, and they have such a high basketball IQ. They're so responsible and accountable on their games. They're so they self-evaluate. They're always watching film. They're texting me at night. Like, they're just really curious about being great. And you know, missing a shot is just such a horror for them. And I'm like, hey, that's okay. Keep shooting. I just have a different mentality. So it's been a lot of fun getting them confident and getting them really aggressive, because they don't make mistakes. I mean, Laura Cornelius is a freshman point guard with a 2-to-1 assist turnover ratio right now in our system. We do force a lot of turnovers, but we also do turn it over quite a bit compared to most teams because of our pace of play. But she's at 2-to-1 as a freshman, which is amazing. I've never had a freshman at 2-to-1 at this time of year.
Well, you've got 10 players that have played that average at least 12 minutes a game. So that goes right into what you were saying about everybody gets an opportunity to play and everybody gets a chance to develop in this system. And it has certainly done some great things for certain players in particular. And, you know, let's spend a few minutes talking about Adrienne Motley, because there are a few players that are better than her in the country, and a lot of people don't necessarily get a chance to see her day in and day out. But she is a dynamic, explosive player who can put big numbers up on any particular team at any particular time.
Yeah, and the thing about Adrienne is, so right now she's over 50% field goal, and guards with her stature and size just don't give you those numbers. I mean, and she's right, she's over 50 right now, but we had a conversation at the end of last year, and you know, she wants to be a complete player. I said, well, your other categories, you know, your scoring's great. And I've hung my hat on it. I'll be frank. I've hung my hat on you scoring. Give me 20 points a game in ACC every night. I'm counting on that. But your other categories haven't been anything I could talk about in the All-American room. You know, like, I couldn't. And so her assist to turnover, she's 34-12 right now. I mean, she's really, really done it. And she's rebounding like crazy. I mean, she's got 25 offensive rebounds, just 2.5 offensive rebounds a game. So she's doing all the other stuff for the team. And the night that she was about to score 1,000th point, there was 4 minutes left in the game, and we were up enough, and she was 2 points away, and we just both looked at each other like, well, we'll get it the next game. She's the most unselfish kid. It is so not about Adrienne Motley, but she's needed to do all this for Miami to win. So I'm awful proud of her, and I agree with you. She is absolutely one of the top 20 players in the country and needs more recognition.
You know, she was a preseason All-ACC, but she definitely needs consideration in all of the Woodens and Wades and all the All-American teams that get talked about, because, you know, she's going to get her chance, though. She's going to get her chance to prove it. The ACC, as always, is a strong conference. A lot of ranked teams, as per usual, and some really strong competition in the backcourt. So she is definitely going to have to be a driving force for the team once conference play starts.
Yeah, and she will. She's so consistent. She's been the most consistent player I've ever coached.
And you have certainly coached some good ones. And one thing that I did want to talk about there is it had to be great as both as a coach and also as a recruiter to see the job that both Shanice Johnson and Raquena Williams did this year in the postseason, making it to the postseason for the first time for both of them, and both of them not shying in from the spotlights. Unfortunately, Williams had some injuries that slowed her down this year, but Johnson was a legitimate candidate for most improved player. And having been in Connecticut and seeing Indiana a couple times in person, she really stepped up and has shown the things that she was demonstrating in college, but it took a couple years in the pro to get into the right pro system.
Right. And I'm so proud of the both of them. And both of them have such a unique ability to impact games. And it was nice to see them. I mean, I thought Raquana actually got in a better situation than Shanice coming out, because Tulsa needed a scorer really bad. And when they, you know, when they drafted her, she was able to overshoot. And that she kind of needs that room. And then she gets hot, and then she's amazing. Where Shanice is a complete, like, will score, will rebound, will assist, whatever her role needs to be. So her role changed when she got traded to Indiana, and the role that they had for her was exactly up her, you know, wheelhouse, and I thought she did a fantastic job. And really, the Indiana coaches did a heck of a job on the defensive end with her, fitting her into their unique system, because their defense is really awesome to watch, and they put her at the top of it a lot, and I thought she did a great job up there. I was awful proud. But for Raquana Bebe to be an all-star was so one player is an all-star, another one in the finals, and that was really neat. That was really, really, because those two completely changed the program down here, and we owe all of our success right now to those two making a decision when they could have gone anywhere, and they came to Miami.
You know, the team has had such success over the years, but I got to ask, does it still bug you the way that season ended their senior year, the fact that the team wasn't playing at 100% and it had been such a good team?
Well, you know, lost in the whole thing was that we had lost Morgan Stroman to an Achilles, too. I mean, that was kind of lost in the whole drama of the ending. And so when we were at full force that year, when we had played Tennessee toe-to-toe, we'd beaten top five teams. I mean, we were great, but we lost Stroman midway through the ACC and somehow managed to still go like 14-2. You know, we covered that up in a really miraculous way, but we just couldn't afford the ending. But, no, it doesn't bug me at all. This whole, you know, you make decisions, you make choices, you give lessons, and you grow. And this program down here, it's really special. I mean, it's really unique to the fact that it's pretty authentic. It's pretty right to the core. We don't mince words. We don't cover things up. We are exactly who we are. There's only a certain kid who can come down here and really, really explode and be the person they need to be. But you got to have some guts. You got to be a little bit of a risk taker, and you got to want the truth. And it's going to come at you pretty hard. And that's how we run it down here. And this particular team is just amazingly resilient and amazingly open-hearted to coaching. And it's been just a blast so far.
Big doings down there with the new football coach coming in, and
yep.
Everybody getting excited about that.
Oh, I know. And then you have Mark Richton, and then you have Jim Larranaga, and then, of course, Jim Morris with baseball and the head coaches around here. I mean, I have to sit up a little straighter in the meetings now. Everybody's got these big rings on their hands, and I want to get one. So I got some work to do.
Just make sure that Rick brings the coffee in. You know, he certainly is the one that should be paying right now.
Exactly.
Well, you got the Florida Sunshine Classic coming up, and I have to tell you, I looked up Florida Sunshine Classic on Google, and the first thing that came up was a poultry show. So I don't think that was a poultry show.
Oh, great!
that kind of, then there was a horse show. So I was a little bit surprised by those things, I did like the competition that you're going to face there. That's for sure. Playing first Baylor, who I think is one of the four top teams in the country, and then playing Indiana, who has also been off to a really strong start and has a good program from the Big Ten. Now after these 10 games, now you're going to start really seeing whether or not this team has what it's made of.
Exactly, and that's very purposeful. I mean, we have to take a break because of finals, and nobody who's 10-0 wants this long of a break, but we have to, and it'll give me a chance to really, you know, get solidified in the rotations and that kind of thing. But I just want to keep them sharp. But to be 10-0, if we were 10-0 and we had a non-Baylor, non-Indiana type opponent waiting there 12 days from now, I don't think our practice would be quite as good as they're going to be now. I mean, you put those games on your schedule after a break for attention. I mean, you will have your players' attention. I know that we will get better during this break. And that is what's the most important thing, because we can't afford to have 10 days of practice that, you know, Miami's just status quo. So we still have a lot of mistakes that we're making. We're not shooting at a percentage we need to shoot, and we got to fix that before we face Baylor. So that'll be maybe another pony show, but it may be a greyhound, because there'll be some fast tempo. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a tournament.
It certainly is, and other teams include, I think James Madison is in there too. It really is a very, very strong field.
I think West Virginia, too.
And West Virginia, too,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, talking about Baylor for a second, I'm curious. You know, you do have all this time off before, so, you know, it is obviously still a struggle to keep them sharp for games. And, you know, you start you usually go with that three-guard rotation. Now you're going to go in against one of the bigger teams in the country, and, you know, an All-American in Nina Davis, so how do you get your posts extra motivated to play against a defense like that, a defense and offense like that?
Right. Well, I mean, that's one thing we have this year that we haven't had in the past. We have 3 to 4 solid, you know, post players. They're not 6'5 and 6'7 and what Baylor has, but we do defend. I thought we did a heck of a job on Shatrice White from Illinois, who presents major problems. That is a major matchup problem, and not many teams can match up with her, cover her from the three-point line and in, and all the skill set that she has. But we did have an ability, a unique ability, to sort of give her three different looks with three different type of players. And but now we're going to have double, triple trouble in that, not just one to focus on. So that'll be interesting. And, like, you know, we're not going to change what we've been doing. You know, it's still a December game, and we're still, you know, you don't want to over-adjust for one game and then kind of ruin your flow and your system. So, you know, my goal for that game is for us to bring our best version of ourselves up to Orlando for those two games and keep us sharp, you know, and because I have a very competitive team, and I have a team that's been down 14-12, and we don't panic. So, you know, we're prepared for a lot of different scenarios, and we'll just go in there fighting. I know we will.
I think you got to send them off to Disney World before that game. and you know, maybe load up Baylor with cotton candy and all the other junk food, and, you know, before you got to try and then try and run them off the court.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the other thing, too, is we're in the ACC, so playing a team, and I agree with you. I think Baylor's one of the top four teams. I haven't picked for the Final Four. I don't have any doubt that they're a Final Four team, but, you know, we're going to play that in our conference, too, and we've played it before, and we beat them before. So I don't want to say that, you know, Miami, we consider ourselves giant killers. We feel like we're at that level, and on any given night, we're gonna win games like that, and if we're not sharp, we'll lose. But it's not like some crazy thought to think that we have a shot at that game. We do. We do, and we've proven that every year. We've beaten the top 10, top 5 opponent down here, and one or two. So we're used to doing it, and we sure won't shy away.
That's for sure. And looking ahead at the ACC schedule, you know, it's never easy, no matter who you play, where you play. But if you're going to have a young team, then it's got to be a little bit better that it's Florida State and Virginia Tech that are your two games. And you get Duke, Louisville, and Syracuse at home. So those are all – it's nice to have those at home instead of having to go to those difficult places, although you do still have to go to Notre Dame and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then you
– you can rationalize all you want.
And then you Southerners get to go to Boston College.
Oh, yeah.
In February.
That would be in Syracuse last year. And then we got up in the morning to try to take the flight, and the toilets were frozen on the plane. So we've been through it. The travel's really something. Luckily, my administration is just really great, and we're able to charter, and we're able to, you know, save our legs a little bit. But it's quite a conference, and it's up and down the East Coast, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So I have not – you've looked ahead more than I have, so I don't really know who we play where. I really don't. But, you know, we're used to it. We're just used to it. It's no drama.
Well, it's funny, you know, you look at, you do think about, when you think of the ACC, you think of the Dukes and the Notre Dames and all of those. And then Virginia Tech goes out, knocks off Tennessee, and ends up as the ESPN Team of the Week.
How about that? That was awesome. And I wrote Dennis a text that night. And I mean, they beat Penn State earlier in the week, too, and Boston College had a great win in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. To sort of, you know, we've never lost that challenge, and we had Virginia Tech and Boston College who sometimes haven't even been able to play in it because our bottom team doesn't play, and then they come up with two huge wins on the last day, which we needed. And so I'm proud of the conference. You know, both of those programs have been working really, really, really hard, and I know, I mean, we went from worst to first in 1 year. I know it just takes a couple special players or a couple breaks. I know what it is to be at the bottom of the conference, and I know what it is to be at the top, and they're working hard, they're doing their jobs, and it's nice to get that for them to get that reward.
Well, Coach, I want to thank you for taking time. Now, I am expecting a win over Baylor because, you know, the last few guests, you know, I had Tony Bazell on when Seton Hall was undefeated, and they proceeded to win a couple of games before finally getting knocked off. And I had Kelly Graves last week, and Oregon's still undefeated.
So the dish
and swish and hot streak is intact, and I'm counting on Miami to do that.
We have a scrimmage against the practice squad, and I promise you I will take this dish and swish and pressure to that scrimmage, and we will win for you.
Gee, thanks. Coach, it's always great to talk to you. Congratulations on a phenomenal start. It's always good for the game when Miami is succeeding and doing well, and you know you do have that tendency to keep them knocking off Giants and making runs into the postseason.
Well, thanks, and thanks for covering our sport. You know, you do a great job, and we all really, really appreciate the time that you give us. So keep it up.
Thanks, Coach. Enjoy the holidays, and good luck in your tournament.
All right.